This is Witches, Bitches, and Dead People with intuitive oracle Jamie Hearn. Jamie stirs the cauldron with witches, shamans, healers, psychics, and mediums who bravely share their power and give you insight into what conversations with dead people really look like. It's probably not what you think. Sometimes hilarious, sometimes macabre, and always informative.
Hello and welcome back to Witches, Bitches, and Dead People. I'm Jamie Hearn, and today I'm super excited to chat with Lisa Molandini. And sometimes she goes by Lisa Mo because it's just too much to manage for some people, but I think we got it under control. So Lisa is an amazing yoga teacher, and she has a really interesting conglomeration of resources and interesting facts about her that I'm going to let her tell us all about. She's also a resident smart girl, so I'm on board with that. Love me some smart girls. I'm excited to chat with you and just have our listeners get to know you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for reaching out and having me here. This is really cool. Like I was saying, I've never really done a podcast, so this is fun and new and awesome and a cool way to start off a Friday, right? So yeah,
totally. For sure. And the whole purpose of my podcast is to normalize weird and cool conversations with other women who are like on this journey to figure out who they are. So
yeah, I love
I'm
that.
Excited that you don't have a script.
Here we are, and you come as you are, do what you can, right? You get what you get. Actually, there's a meme going around recently. I've seen it. It just says like, "Can I get any weirder?" And I'm like, "Well, that I feel attacked by that one, but yes, that's me. We found it, right?" Actually, this is so random and funny, but when I was in the first grade, the teacher had to call home because like an older girl was like kind of like I guess today nowadays we would say bullying, right? And she said to me, "Why are you so weird?" And I told her I wanted to be weird. And the teacher just "Hey mom, just so you know, like this interaction happened today," right? So yeah, it's been a you get what
in
you
my
get.
House we totally cultivated weird.
Yeah,
so my kid, he's as weird as we are, maybe weirder. He was on the bus and there was a little girl bullying one of his friends. Mm. And he taps her on the shoulder. And I think they were probably in fifth grade. And he says, "Excuse me, I don't know what has happened to you, but may the goddess have mercy on your little black heart."
That's fantastic. Hey, I love it.
Yeah. I was like, "That's my boy."
Sounds like a her problem. That's adorable and horrifying and awesome. All the good things. I love it. I'm sure that
He's the one that, like, if I had a daughter who brought him home, I'd be like,
here we go. Yeah. Love it. Love it.
But he's a great kid and super cool. And a handful,
as they tend to be.
So tell us how you found yoga, or did yoga find you?
I was actually just telling the story the other day. When I was in college, as a sophomore in college, and my roommate and I saw a flyer for yoga club. And it just so happened to be downstairs in one of the lounges of the building we lived in. And I guess we were probably trying to procrastinate doing, homework or something important, right? So we went to yoga club. And I don't even know if it was an actual registered, official, trained yoga teacher. Maybe it was just another student who liked yoga, right?
Yeah.
Maybe she watched a YouTube video, because at that point YouTube was just a baby, right? That you didn't have Yoga with Adrienne, right? Like to watch. maybe she watched a DVD. I don't know. It seems more timely. But and we went. And my brain was like, I think I kind of like this, and so it kind of, came through here and there. And then, after I graduated into the recession, right? So 2009, yay, congratulations. Here's a mall job with your, bachelor's degree. And yoga kind of helped me through a lot of like kind of high stress, not high reward jobs, right?
I mean, even those that think they're high reward, if you break it down, they're really not. So yeah, don't feel like you were missing out.
No, oh, for sure, right? So, but at the time, right, like that really messes with you, right? Like, I'm never gonna, I have my degree now. I'm not gonna come home and work at the mall, and then that's what you do, right? But it kind of like, yeah, I kind of bopped around to different classes and teachers. And for some reason, I always found myself in the winter really craving that kind of movement. And I guess, you know, maybe whatever it is, you know, in the summer, you go outside, go for a hike, be outdoors. But in the winter, you get a little bit of a sweat on and just kind of that movement. And when, you know, I guess now looking back, maybe that's like my Ayurveda, like my type or whatever, you know, that's a whole other rabbit hole that I don't know too much about, but it's so fascinating. But yeah. And then yoga kind of became a daily part of my life, maybe in like 2018-ish, 19. And then it became like sometimes a two times a daily part of my life. And eventually, you know, then I was about to, they twisted my arm. I was about to do the teacher training. So the basic, like to become a registered teacher is 200 hours. So I was just about to enroll in training, and then we had a pandemic. So that got bumped back for about a year. And I eventually did go through that teacher training program. And then I was kind of ready to fly. You know, I opted not to join the studio that I trained at, because I wasn't super comfortable with a non-compete agreement that early in my career.
I don't even, like, I don't have anything to compete with. Give me a break.
Right. But anyway, so I kind of went out and started teaching on my own, and I was nervous. You know, I was like, am I going to even have anywhere to teach? Am I going to have people that come to me? And right, of course, things take time, right? We were building, and, you know, I found some places to teach and independently. Like, so my background is in communications, and so I do a little freelance journalism. So in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to call myself, I'm a freelance yoga teacher.
We're just gonna
go like that, you know. And then eventually I enrolled in a second 200 hour program, which in the yoga world would kind of seems kind of redundant, but it was a more broader lineage.
So does that like equal 400?
I guess. I mean, technically, yes. You can do a 200, and then you can do a 300, which equals the grand total of 500. But technically, I've done two 200s, and now I'm in a three. I don't know. There's a lot of math. It's whatever. The math ain't mathing. Yeah. So, I mean, to me, like that first one I did was like a really good base and a really good foundation. It was a hot power yoga, like for exercise, sweating. Great workout. I found to me that was not accessible or even safe to a vast majority of the people that were coming to me that wanted yoga for yoga and not necessarily for, like, you know, I'm going to fall over in a pile of sweat and die, right?
Yoga nidra sounds real good right now.
For sure. Right. So, yeah, right. I love it. But so yeah, the second one I took was like more broad. And now I teach all kinds. Most of my classes are very gentle, accessible. I try and make everything as, you know, beginner friendly as possible. I try to be really intentional with my class description so people know what they're signing up for, right? Because it can be intimidating.
Especially for us old women who were like, oh, I'm not as flexible as I used to be, and I have whatever. It is a little intimidating to go, but
and especially I find too, like, and because I remember being on the other side of things, it can be very intimidating to walk into a yoga studio environment. Mm-hmm. So I've taught classes, you know, at like our local art gallery. I've taught classes in like more of a gym environment, and, you know, to me, certain places you walk in, you feel everybody knows what they're doing, and they all have their expensive pants on, and, you know, you feel like you accidentally, you know, sat at the cool kids table at lunch, right? And it really isn't like that. Everyone is nice in the, you know, but it can feel that way at first, right?
I wrote this blog post years ago about rich bitch yoga. Where I live, there's a town, like, it's a pretty affluent town. Mm-hmm. And everyone comes in and they're like fancy butt lifting yoga pants.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just want a fucking donut, man. Like,
yeah, right. I know. For sure. You know, it's something, right? But I think a lot of it too is just, and it is, and it can be intimidating. Like, we live in a very Instagrammable world and we see the highlight reel. And while that does bring some people in the door, that can be really intimidating too. And if they would just try it, you know, and kind of realize, you know, this is for everybody, right? You know, so, but I try and be extra accommodating.
Maybe we could do a blooper reel.
Love it.
I'm sure you have a lot of entertaining ones, but so do you, I know I'm like pulling you in to do some yoga at the pond.
I'm so excited.
Like, do you teach outside sometimes?
I love to teach outdoors. I love that just the festival circuit in general has kind of fallen into my lap, and it's kind of just lights me up. You know, I love it. I love to do outdoor classes or even just classes in unique spots. You know, I've done classes at wineries. I've done classes and I've done the whole, you know, can I just say, like, this is an aside. If I have lost track of the amount of people that when you meet them and you say, oh yeah, I'm a yoga teacher. Like, oh my God, do you do yoga with goats? Like, it's like a whole thing. Yes. Once in a while we will do yoga with goats just for fun. You know, I like to bring it out into the community. And you know, sometimes that'll bring, you know, introduce someone just, you know, to this beautiful, sacred, ancient practice that's not going to step foot in a studio. They're just not, you know, but.
Well, we could do yoga with the cows here.
Okay. Yeah. We'll do cats and cows. It'll be fine. Yeah.
Our cows are super friendly, so they will probably like bowl you over and lick you, but they'll be game.
So once this is, oh my gosh, years ago, I did as a student, I went to something called EIEI yoga at a farm. Swear to God, I did not make this up. It was like they had a horse rescue, I guess. And so they literally brought like sheep and stuff, like out and around sheep, goats. There was like a mini on a lead that they were walking around. I had like whole prints on my mat. Like, this is so dangerous and ridiculous and very messy, but awesome. Like, this is so funny. Right? So hey, I'm down. It can be done.
Well, I love the idea of yoga being accessible to people without having to fit in the box, because mm-hmm. I'm a burn the box kind of person, not really like, oh, well, I'll conform.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like I said, I mean, it can be intimidating. And to me, like, that's, you know, I have students that joke with me. They're like, you should get t-shirts that say that. But it comes out of my mouth at least 3 or 4 times a class. Just make it your own. Make it your own, right? This time is for you. We're not getting judged at the, you know, the Olympics here. You know, if it feels good, do it. If it doesn't feel good, don't do it. If it feels really awesome and you want to stay there a little while, stay there. You know, this is for you to reconnect with your body, with your breath, you know, press the pause button on your day for a little bit and, you know, make it what you need it to be. Maybe you want to get your workout in. Maybe you want to stretch and breathe and listen to the music, right? It's probably somewhere in between those two things, but you know, make it whatever you want it and need it to be. And I think that's what's one of my favorite things about yoga is you can make it what you want it and need it to be. And maybe what you want it and need it to be today is different than it will be tomorrow. And that's fine. And you can make it your own, you know, it's flexible.
I love the idea of exploring it and seeing what really does feel right to you. Because some of us don't have any idea. We're so disconnected from our bodies.
Oh my gosh, 100%. You know, it's like there's a lot of research actually going out on now, just like neurologically. I mean, the big long fancy term is proprioception, but just like, where is your body? Where are you in space? Right? And people just tend to not have any idea. And because we're so disconnected, you know, we don't live in a society that like teaches us to, you know, if you tell somebody, reach your arms out long, like letter T, 2 straight lines. Their back arm will be way down here. Like we just don't know. We have to kind of reconnect with our body with that feeling, just that awareness of where we are in space. You know?
Yeah, you don't know where your arms are, but you know where your phone's at.
You got it. Yep. And you haven't done anything for yourself recently, but you plug that thing in every night. So
right.
treat yourself as nice as you treat your phone, and maybe it'll be fine.
Let's take a quick break and don't pick your phone up.
Hit the pause.
Unless, of course, you're listening to us on the phone, then just set it down and keep listening.
Love it.
We'll be right back with Lisa Moe.
Hey there, fellow seekers of the mystical and magical. Are you through with wading through the endless online noise, only to be met with judgment and skepticism about your otherly interests? Enter Rooted in Magic, your haven of curated wisdom and fantastical knowledge. Join our private membership program designed for the magically curious. Explore ancient secrets and metaphysical wonders. Unlock the mysteries of your true self in a 100% judgment-free zone. At Rooted in Magic, you're free to journey towards self-discovery at your own pace, supported by a community that understands and celebrates your uniqueness. Visit our website today and start your journey to understanding who you are, why you're here, and where you're going. Embrace the magic within you at rootedinmagic.com.
Welcome back to Witches, Bitches, and Dead People. We're chatting about yoga and how yoga can offer you the opportunity to reconnect with parts of you that are really disconnected. And you don't have to pretend it's rich bitch yoga like my one experience, because it's more accessible. And Lisa, tell us more about some of the spiritual aspects of yoga.
Sure. So, and as I always kind of say to my students, you make this what you need it to be, right? You can use this as an opportunity to kind of reconnect with your mind, body, and spirit. And really, I mean, it is an ancient sacred practice. And, you know, if you go back in the teachings of things, there's 8 limbs of yoga, technically, right? Only one of them is physical postures and movements, mm-hmm. right? So that you read the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali that all of us, you know, yoga people have to read, you know, and there's tests on it and there's, you know, all this research done. But I mean, really the bottom line is he talks about chitta vritti, right? There's no real English exact translation, but basically it all boils down to we do our yoga to quiet the mind stuff, right? So, you know, working with moving our bodies, working with our breath to help quiet the mind. And, you know, the whole thing of yoga is, right, we all very often, if when we're new to yoga and we go to class and we just, okay, we did all these movements and whatever else, and now the teacher's going to make us lay on the floor and we just have to, and it's weird, right? We lay here and it's quiet. And like, what do I do? And like my nose,
it's my favorite part.
I know. And it becomes your favorite part. But at first, like people don't expect that, you know, especially if you're used to maybe more of like a fitness class or like a gym style class environment. What do I do now? And people don't know what to do. And they start sitting up and they're like looking around and they're like, oh shit, everybody's still like, you know, and then they kind of lay bits like whack-a-mole, you know, they're like, they're coming up. They're like, yeah. But the reason that we move our bodies in that way and we work with our breath is to prepare our minds to have some quiet time at the end, right? To go inward and be still.
One of my favorite memories of a yoga class that I took when I was in law school. So it was like 100 years ago. The instructor was, I honestly don't know if she was Basque or if she was Spanish, but she's like Iberian Peninsula-ish. Mm-hmm. And when she was going through the relaxation part at the end, she kept telling you, focus on this, focus on this. But her accent, she kept saying, focus.
Oh, God.
I couldn't stop giggling. Yeah. I was like, I can't relax with you telling me to focus.
With your adorable little accent saying silly things to me. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, for sure. I often do, like, sometimes I like to listen to, like, meditations and stuff, like, online or, you know, YouTube and whatever. And I have to, like, listen to the preview real quick first, because if they have like a beautiful British, South African, Australian, whatever accent, like I can't do it. Like, I'm just listening to that now. This is, I'm just talk to me. You know, I'm not focused because I'm listening to your, you know, beautiful.
Wait, how'd voice. I get here? What were we talking about?
Oh, right. Oh, come back to my breath. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Oh, whatever. Oh, I love it. It's funny. Yeah, for sure.
So If there was one thing that you want people to know about practice of yoga, and specifically practice of yoga with you, what would it be that you want to share with people?
Oh, man. Oh, that's big. I guess I would just say, just try it, you know? I'm low key, you know, the yoga police aren't going to come to class and tell you you're doing it wrong. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to yell at you. I mean, if you're at a point of like, you know, being ready to injure yourself or something, I'm going to tell you, maybe let's move this foot up here, you know, right. I'll help you. I'm not going to let you, you know, get hurt, but it's more to me, it's about exploring your own body, right? Exploring your breath. I like to start everybody, you know, just kind of lying down. You know, you did the hard part, you got out the door, you got in the car, you got here, right? Now let's take a second to just land here, right? Mm-hmm. Scan your body, come into your body, see where you're at and what you need today. And then we'll practice, right? Yeah. And I always do my very best to give lots of options, right? We use props. We use our blocks. That's not a cop out. That's being smart, right? We use tools. It's what differentiates us from the animal kingdom, right? We use our tools. But wherever we're at, there's always a way to ease back a little bit. There's always a way to make it a little more challenging, right? Tailor it to you. I mean, the practice is for you. You know, sometimes you jokingly say, okay, you know, like eyes on your own mat, right? Nobody's worried about what you're doing. They're worried about what they're doing. You know, I'm there as a guide, right?
Well, and there is a vulnerability because 100%. We all have a level of self-consciousness, even if we're comfortable with the practice of yoga. I was in a yoga class a couple months ago and the girl took pictures.
Yeah.
So I'm 6'3". I'm pretty conspicuous as it is, but right. I chose to wear a bright green shirt that day.
Of course she did. Yeah. And she probably thought, oh, that'll photograph really well. You know, and that's a whole thing too. Like there's this whole like scuttlebutt, like in the yoga world, well, is it ever appropriate to take pictures of your students? And like, and there's the no, this is such a personal private practice. You should never photograph your students. And then there's like, well, how am I supposed to share the information about this wonderful thing I have to see if no one knows what it is and what it looks like? And it's this whole thing, you know?
I think if you have to a participant's permission.
Yeah, cool. I put it in my, you know, in my waiver, you know, maybe pictures will be taken, but I'm still going to ask first too, right? You know, I'm not going to take a picture where everyone's like bent over with their rear end up in the sky or like lying in meditation. It'll be like,
you wouldn't have seen my green shirt then.
Oh, love it. Right. Of course. Yeah. Gotta love that.
But it was a moment for me to take pause and be like, so how self-conscious am I? Like, where is the line of my, what I perceive to be security in who I am and how I show up? And where am I uncomfortable with that? So,
oh my gosh, 100%. And then it's like, it makes you be like, oh my God, am I like a big fraud? Like, do I practice what I preach? Right? Because everybody's critical of photos of their own self, right? I did a class earlier this week at one of our local colleges here. They brought in, it's Love Your Body Week, February. Well, it was, February's over now, but it was February's Body Positivity Month. I had no idea, which should probably be every month, but who am I?
Yeah, let's just make it March too.
It's fine. Yeah. But they did like they had different events for the college all week. And one of them was this body positive yoga. So we did like a self-love yoga, you know, and I had like fun, empowering music and whatever. And some of the college students came, and it's right before midterm. So it was like a little break for them. And we took, you know, they wanted to take a picture at the end for the university to have. And we're taking the pictures. And then, like, they're all, you know, like, they're so cute. They're, like, these, like, college girls. And they got their little slippers on and their outfits. And then I'm like, oh, my God, there I'm in the middle. What's my hair doing? Ooh, there I am. Like, and then I'm like, I just literally just spent an hour doing body positive yoga. And now I'm, like, criticizing my own picture, right? It's hard. You know, it's balance, right? And we almost, I feel like, you know, everybody – the hot topic these days is boundaries, right? Oh, boundaries. I think the hardest person to set boundaries with is yourself.
Totally.
100%, right?
Like the self-talk that we all participate in, it's a really great filter to say, would I say that to someone else? Would I say that to a child? And most of the time you wouldn't say it to anyone else.
Yeah. Actually, I tried to pull that with my boyfriend the other day. He said something like mean about himself. I was like, now would you tell that to your best friend? He goes, yeah, Kenny's an idiot. And I'm like, oh my God. All right, well, bad example, but okay. Hi, Kenny. I hope you're out there. We're gonna send you this link, but yeah, now you know.
We love you, Kenny.
Yeah, I love you. Oh God, gotta love it. Now he knows, he'd say the same thing. But yeah, it was just kind of funny. I was like, oh yeah, well, maybe not your best friend. How about say maybe like a little kid? Would you say that's a little kid? I don't know. Probably not, right? It's cringy. It's weird.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I've had similar conversations with my kids, like when they say something. So now the one who's a handful, he'll call me and he'll like be yelling about something. And I'll say, Anthony, you need to be more compassionate. He goes, I know. That's why I'm telling you how I feel.
The idea. Yeah. Here we are. Like,
all right. At least we're working in that direction.
Yeah. Knowledge, you know, we at least we know, you know, we'll get there eventually. We've accepted what we know, what we have to do. Right. Yeah, it's tricky. It's a crazy world. Right. But
so a funny yoga story. My older son plays college football. Mm-hmm. He's an offensive lineman. So he's a big kid.
Sure.
He's actually the smallest one on their offensive line. He's also like 6'3", 270. So he's not a small kid. He calls, when I dropped him off, he calls and he's like, Ma, I've never been the smallest guy in the room before. This is weird.
Right.
So they shipped their offensive and defensive lines to yoga classes.
Love it.
I know. I was like, what'd you learn? Tell me all about it.
He's like, mobility.
He goes, I learned I'm really not flexible. But I think that might be part of the point.
Yeah. Imagine that. Right. Remember like back in the 80s, like the NFL, like that was like the cool thing was like the NFL players were all like signing up for ballet.
Yeah,
right. So now it's like, oh, well, have you tried yoga? Right. Yeah, no, it's cool though. Because I think we see a lot of that, right? There's, you see specific classes popping up like yoga for athletes, or they'll have yoga teachers come in to different teams. I have a friend that teaches, you know, does work with some of the local school districts sports teams, you know. But it is like, when, especially if we're runners or lifters or whatnot, we could be very tight, and that's a lot of mass to carry around. And it's really the joint mobility and it's the connective tissue and the fascia that, you know, makes a full package, right? So
right. And then
I have a colleague that didn't start out as a yoga teacher. She was a more of a fitness instructor, and she's like a world champion power lifter. And when she started really getting into yoga, her lifts went up about 30 pounds.
Wow.
Wild. I know.
Absolutely. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
And then there are those of us who are sedentary and like, yeah, you know, still living in the illusion of being an athlete 30 years ago.
Right. Yeah. And it's wild. And that's what you can make it, you know, what, like I said, like you can make it what you need it to be, you know. There's chair yoga, you know, I teach yoga for, I have some training in, we call it yoga for all abilities. So for teens and adults with special needs of all kinds, physical and just neurological differences. And just to see how everybody can, even just from being in the environment where yoga is going on, yoga loosely, right? But just benefit from that. You know, maybe we do a little song and some movement that's kind of yoga inspired, but you can still see like how that calms them and soothes them and, you know, makes them more relaxed. And it's beautiful. It's cool. Like, it's really fun to watch.
Right. And it's fostering a connection that they probably don't get to explore very often, if ever.
Right. Absolutely.
That's awesome.
It's really cool.
If people want to know more about you and the cool shit you do in the world, where can they find you?
Well, mainly the easiest way would be to find me on Facebook or Instagram. I'm just Lisa Mo Yoga, Lisa M-O Yoga on all the things. I have a link tree type of thing where it's Linktree/Lisa Mo Yoga. There's all kind of things on there. I have all kind of fun different little things that you can like see my playlists, and I have some discounts to like some different things I like, and you can sign up for my email community. And yeah, but that's kind of the main way if they find me online.
Cool. And if they want to come to the Lilith Moon Festival, they
can
do yoga with
the world.
You at the
Love it. Yeah, I think, what is it? Summer solstice yoga, right?
It is.
Yeah, I've done that before and it's really fun.
So, are we doing a full moon flow that day? Is that what?
Probably. I think I'm like relating the moon and the solstice somehow. It's going to be
amazing and magical.
Yeah.
However it is.
I love the practice outdoors. I was saying that, but I'm an earth sign. So like the more I'm outdoors, like if I'm not on my mat or I'm not outside, I probably don't want to be doing it. Right. So, but yeah, for sure. I'm looking forward to that so much. I'll be at the Northeast PA Yoga Festival earlier that month too. There's a ticket link in my link tree for that. If anyone wants a ticket to that, I'll be around. I'm everywhere. So if you find me online, I pin my schedule to the top. I teach tons of classes all throughout Northeast PA, and a lot of them are Zoomable too. So from anywhere in the world, you can come.
Cool.
Yeah, super fun.
Awesome. Well, it's been really nice chatting with you, and I can't wait to share some magic with you.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. And I thank you so much for, you know, reaching out to me and setting this up. It's really been really fun. And
I just really enjoy chatting with other cool women. So
I know, I agree, you know, and, you know, like they say, right. Collaboration, right. You know, we don't need to all be doing our own different thing. Right.
We
the collective, you know, just getting all together and seeing what we can create is super fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, there's no reason to compete. Let's just do it all together. Come on.
Love it. Love it.
Awesome. Well, thanks again. And I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in. We'll see you next week on Witches, Bitches, and Dead People. Peace and badass magic.
Are you wading through the endless online noise only to be met with judgment and skepticism about your otherly interests? Enter Rooted in Magic, your haven of curated wisdom and fantastical knowledge. Join our private membership program designed for the magically curious. Visit rootedinmagic.com and start your journey of understanding who you are, why you're here, and where you're going. Embrace the magic within you at rootedinmagic.com.